Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
10 times in just the first chapter of the Bible, God says everything reproduces its own thing. Now let's just see if there's any science for that. Think you can observe and test and demonstrate that? Do you know you can have a bunny rabbit? You can have bunny rabbits, and when those bunny rabbits give birth, they're going to be bunny rabbits. We can have a cage of kitty cats. When those kitty cats give birth, they're going to be kitty cats. You can plant a tomato seed. You give it some water and sunshine, and here comes a tomato plant. Here grows a nice little tomato on there. Take one of those and cut it open. Get a seed out. Put it in the ground. Give it some water. Give it some sun. Here comes another tomato plant. Folks, do you understand? Trillions upon trillions of times, what God says is absolutely scientifically verifiable, trillions of times over. I mean, my grandpa is 102 years old. This guy, he's 102. Just about a year and a half, he finally quit mowing his own yard, 2.5 acres of it. I mean, the guy's incredible. He's a gardener. We love to go to raid grandpa's garden. You know, but grandpa's a funny guy. He's been gardening for 85 years. He's a funny fella. Whenever he plants beans, beans grow there. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. He plants corn, here comes corn. It's crazy, I've never seen anything like it. Look folks, what you plant is what you're gonna get. If you plant cars, you're gonna get cars. Okay. Well, maybe not that, okay, I don't know. But the point is, you're gonna get whatever it is. Folks, if you have giraffes, they're gonna give giraffes. If you have pigs, they're gonna give pigs. If you have dinosaurs, they're gonna give dinosaurs. Whatever it is absolutely scientifically verifiable. I'm telling you, a 10-year-old child can hold their own against a college professor if they'll stick to what is science. My puppy dog had baby dogs. You're saying I came from a what? A starfish? I don't think so. You show me your science, I'll bring my puppy dogs in. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got all of the science. This is so simple, we've missed it. This is so simple, we've overlooked it. Can you ever crossbreed an iguana far enough out to get an iguanophant? No, it's not gonna happen, right? I mean, you see this picture right here. This guy's showing Paul this snake right here. The last offer, I personally know that he was offered for that snake was $60,000. He's got another one very similar. He was offered $40,000, $100,000 for these two snakes. And the guy said, no way, man, they're not for sale. Folks, this guy knows snakes. He knows snakes. He knows how to crossbreed snakes and put them together and all. He put the snakes together to produce that snake. That picture you're looking at right there, this is the only snake like it in existence on this planet. And he's the guy that put the snakes together. Do you understand? You can crossbreed snakes so far out that you get a snake that's the only one in existence in the world, and it's still a snake. Why? Because thus saith the Lord. That's why. Because God said everything is going to reproduce after his kind, and that is exactly what all of the evidence all the time shows. Never anything otherwise. I'm telling you, if you have fish, they're going to give fish. If you have carrots, they're going to give carrots. It doesn't matter. Can a coconut tree ever produce a rhino? No, it's not going to grow there. But folks, that's what our kids are being taught. That's what our kids are learning. We were driving down the interstate. I drive the motorhome and the car with a camera right there ready to go. Because we see stuff all the time. You know, I'm driving along. Whoa, look at that sign. This is to the Indianapolis Zoo in Indiana. These rhinos are dinos. Have you ever thought about this, folks? Rhinoceros. Do you know when they found the first rhino bones, they thought it was a dinosaur, they gave it a dinosaur name, and then they realized these guys are still alive. Oops. But it kept the name anyway. I mean, there's so many goofs like that, but anyway. Hey, look at this thing. Remember this from the other day. Well, I don't think I showed it the other day. Check this out. Glencoe Biology sitting right on the table. All the many forms of life on Earth today are descended from a common ancestor. Now, folks, do you realize what that's saying? This thing is saying everything on this planet, plants, animals, you know, bacteria, worms, snakes, whatever, everything goes back to the same grandma and grandpa back in time. That's crazy. That means somewhere back in time, something gave birth to rhinos and coconut trees and people. That's nonsense. Can anybody believe that if they want? Sure. But is it science? No way. And they even say no traces of those events remain. Isn't that convenient for them? But wait a minute, in order to be science, you have to have observation. If there are no traces, there's no observation, there's no science. But look what it says. You can't go back in time to see what happened. Turn to the scientific method, observing and constructing experiments to test. Folks, in the very same paragraph, they say everything on this planet has the same grandma and grandpa. They say you've got to have observations and experimentation to call it science. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. It is right in front of us, and we don't even see it. It is incredible to think about it. How about August 2004? Scientific American. Creationists are making headways all across this planet, all across this country in a big way. The evolutionists are very nervous about this very thing. Check this out. This is amazing. The creationists cut at the very credibility of science when they cast doubt on our methods. Folks, I want to cast as much doubt as I possibly can on as many of their methods as I possibly can because they don't have science, you see. And look what it says right here. I'm not against teaching faith-based ideas in religion classes. I'm just against teaching them as if they were science. Well, now, wait a second. Is it faith-based or is it science that everything on the planet has the same grandma and grandpa? Folks, there's no science for that. What they're teaching is faith-based. The only way it's ever going to change is when the Christian community steps up to the plate and gets involved and helps to straighten this mess out. You know, back to the Raven Johnson, it says, scientific creationism implicitly denies the whole intellectual basis for the set of facts that human beings have assembled over the centuries about the nature of life on Earth. They say, if you're a creationist in this textbook, if you're a creationist, you're denying science, you're denying the facts. I dare say it's the other way around, as a matter of fact, not that way. Anyway, check this out. Same textbook, just a little bit later, a few pages later, shows chapter 19, and it says how humans evolved. And they have a picture of grandma back here in the background. This is amazing. Look what this text says. Humankind's closest living relatives are the African apes, chimpanzees, and gorillas, like this mountain gorilla from Rwanda. Now, hang on a second. Humankind, that's us. They're saying that our closest living relatives, it's that thing right there. Now, hang on one second, folks. My closest living relatives live in San Antonio, Texas. I know them pretty well. That's mom, dad, brother, sister. A little further, I've got grandma, grandpa, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins. A little further, great-grandma, great-grandpa, second cousins, great-aunts, and that kind of. Those are our relatives. But there are people that honestly believe that this is Uncle Joe right here. Now listen, they can call him Uncle Joe if they want to. They can call him Aunt Susie if they want to. They can call him whatever they want to. But it's not science. That's the problem, you see. That's where the problem comes. Paul was really desperately trying to figure out. He couldn't remember which one is grandma. I can't seem to remember. Oh, no. It's crazy, you know? Anyway, gorillas and chimpanzees are probably our closest living relatives. All textbooks say this stuff. I don't know if this is a family portrait of anybody in here, okay? But come on, that's just not possible, you know, but that's what the texts say. Anyway, look what it says. All of these African apes are rare, largely due to human encroachment of their habitat. It's your fault they're all gone, you know. Don't you just feel terrible now? Now, wait just one second. Folks, let's think about this for a minute. All these texts get involved in this. Look at National Geographic. They say the loss of wildlife deserves everybody's anger. Hang on just one second. Why? From a pure evolutionary perspective, so what? if something's going extinct. Now let's think this through for a second. Do you realize, according to evolution, things have been going extinct for eons of time? Why should we care or bother or be surprised if something goes extinct today? According to them, it was this mass extinction of stuff in the past that made possible our existence today. Folks, according to evolution, things have been dying off all along. Why should we care if something dies off now? I mean, they make no sense within themselves, you see. That's the problem. Now, don't misunderstand me. We should care because God says we should care. Now, check this out. God puts mankind on this planet and says, you got dominion over everything. Now, that's not dominion as in to be brutish and roughshod over everything. That is dominion as in to tend and care. And what? This is God's big green garden ball he calls Earth. He put a big zoo on the thing, and then he says, watch this. And he threw the thing in a big circle, going 66,600 miles an hour in a circle. 666,000 miles an hour? Coincidence, I'm sure, huh? Anyway, he puts this big zoo on it, and he puts mankind here, he says, take care of that stuff for me, will you? And that's exactly what we ought to do. It is sad to me, the extreme left end of the political spectrum has gotten a hold of all the issues the Christian ought to have been in charge of all along. Now listen, I'm not telling you, well, let me put it this way. We should care because it's God's stuff, but not worship the creation over the creator. See, that's where the devil always will get his way into a verse of scripture, and he'll twist it around and make everybody believe his version of it. We should care. This is God's stuff. If my son goes over to your house to play with your son's toys, I would expect him to take care of your son's toys because that's his stuff, and vice versa. This is God's stuff. We ought to take care of it because it's God's stuff. We love God, we respect God, we ought to take care of his stuff. That's all. But not to the point of worshiping that stuff. And that's where the problem comes in, you see. But anyway, let's finish this one up. It says, unless care is taken to preserve them from extinction, we will destroy this key link to our biological past. Folks, anybody that thinks that's a key link to our past has no clue about our past. And they're telling our kids about our past and the future. Does the worldview matter? You better believe it, it matters. But the Bible says all nations of one blood. The Bible says Eve is the mother of all. The Bible says mankind is made in the image and likeness of God. Now, if all that's true, and it is, then these charts that are in these textbooks are not. It cannot be both ways, folks. It can't be. Only one is right, you see. Anyway, let's change gears. Now, check this out. This is funny. Discover Magazine, January 96, from fin to hand. In evolution, fast small changes add up to slow big ones, and a mutation happens in a blink of an eye. And a fin can turn into a hand. Okay, wait a minute. Now, science is observing and testing, and believing is faith and religion and belief. And what is it that they have, folks? That's a faith-based system. There's no science there, and it's in all science publications. November 2000, Nature, Muscle Evolution, from fins to four legs. It's in all science publications and textbooks. They basically say that life started in the water, and it climbed out onto land. And now, think about this. Have you ever thought through the change that would have to happen to go from living in the water to living on land? I mean, think about it now. You're down underwater. It's cool. It's dark. It's damp. It's pressure and certain way of getting around, certain food chain, certain way of breathing. And then you decide you want to live out on land. So you get out on the land, and now it's hot, and it's dry, and it's dusty. You have to have eyelids come across to bring fluid to your eyeballs, you know, and so they don't cook you out. And you have to, whole new food system. Nothing you like to eat is out there. You have to have a whole new diet, whole new way of breathing and getting around and everything. And not only that, folks, this is a really, really big planet. And there had to be a boy and a girl come out. And they had to be able to find each other and like each other and reproduce with each other and keep this thing going. Folks, that's crazy. For the thing to just happen once is nonsense, much less to continue the thing on. There's no way. There's no science for that. People can believe it, but that's not science. You know, I go into public schools all over this country. And I was in Walhalla, South Carolina, Walhalla High School. Now, look at this close. Watch this. This is a sign right on the front yard there. And look what it says. Selected by the U.S. Department of Education as a new American high school. Now, folks, when you see those kind of words, those are those buzzwords for this outcomes-based education stuff. I'm telling you, I go into a lot of these schools, and it is scary what's qualifying as education in many cases. But anyway, look what the sign says right here on the front. To dream. All right, let me ask you a serious question. Do we really want to ship our kids off to public high school to dream? No, not me. No. No, you know what I want my son to dream about? I want my son to dream about being an evangelist, or being a missionary, or being a pastor, doing something for God. That's what I'd really like him to dream about. And look at the second thing it says, to believe. Well, do we really want to ship him off to public high school to believe? Now, folks, there are some things going on in some of these places I don't even want him to know about, much less believe in. And then finally, number three, achieve. Whatever happened to just plain old teach them how to read and write, add and subtract and all? I mean, this is incredible. Have you ever tried to get change counted back to you at a grocery store correctly? You can't do it. After you give them the money, right? After they punch the numbers in the little calculator computer machine there, reach in and get the pennies it takes to get the quarters back. Watch what happens. Tilt. I'm telling you, we have done this so many times. It's fun, folks. Take me up on it. Please do this. It's fun. Go to the deli section of a grocery store and order 2/3 of a pound of something and watch what happens. Just watch. They don't know what that means. You know what they do? They start slicing the stuff and they throw it up on a scale and say, is that enough? Is that enough? 3 weeks ago, we were doing a seminar and the assistant pastor came up and said, you're not gonna believe what happened to us. He said, he went with this other fella to McDonald's and he went in there and this guy, he's a pastor, he says, I want a half dozen chicken nuggets. And the fella at the register said, we don't sell them in a half a dozen. And he looked up at the thing and says, you sell 6, 9, and 12. He said, yeah, but we don't have them in a half a dozen. The guy said, well, give me 6 then. But folks, it's the way we are. That's our society these days. Hey, we need to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Folks, we need to get serious about our kids. It's their minds and souls. Anyway, so I'm in Walhalla High School. So I go into the science classroom. This is funny. In science rooms, they have all this stuff hanging all over the walls all the time. Well, they have this chart here. It's the scientific method. Let's do the scientific method. Let's follow science here tonight and see what happens on something we've already looked at a little bit. First thing we need to do is figure out what it is that you want to learn. What do you want to do? Okay, for our science here tonight, what we want to do is we want to actually learn if it's true that fins evolved into legs and limbs and such, okay? That's what we want to figure out here tonight. Step number 2, research. Find out as much about your topic as you can. So we go to the library, we go to the science teachers, we go to the university, interview the professors, we go to the college library, we go online. Hours and hours turn into days, turn into weeks. We do diligent study. All the experts say it happened. Everybody agrees. They even have zoo displays with this now. Okay, so the next step, hypothesis. Predict the answer to the problem using a crystal ball here. That's another whole issue, but anyway, I guess the prediction is it must have worked. Everybody says it worked. Basically what they say about 20 billion years ago, little dot blows up, and out of this rubble, everything shows up, and it's been getting better over time, so now we're so smart, and we're so, you know, knowledgeable, now we can look back in time and see what it looks like, how it happened. Okay, so the next thing, experiment. Design a test to confirm or disprove your hypothesis. Now hang on just a second. Can anybody in here come up with a test that we can do to show fins turning into 4 legs or limbs or such? There is absolutely 0 test you can do to qualify that. But folks, do you understand? You must have that experiment in order to call it science. I'll take it a step further. Absolutely 100% of every example in the evidence for evolution chapters will melt down right there. There is no test you can do to ever show evolution happen. You know why? Because thus saith the Lord, that's why. God said he spoke and put this place here and it reproduces after its own. But evolution says non-life turned into life and turned into other life. It violates what God says he did. It is violating the truth. There is no test that can ever be done, but you must have the test to call it science. Folks, I'm telling you, evolution is wild speculation. There is 0 evidence to support it, but so many people believe it happened because that's all they've ever heard. All right, so the next step, analysis. Record what happened during the experiment. It didn't work. So what do you do if it doesn't work? Check it out. All texts say this, and this is what science is. If your test does not work, you go and revise your hypothesis and you repeat the process. You revise it and repeat. If your test worked, even if you got your test to work out, you go and repeat several times that test. That's what makes it science. Well, folks, there's no science for this kind of stuff then. None at all. All right, let me see a show of hands. Everybody in here that wears glasses. Let me see how many people wear glasses. Okay, we've got a lot of people wear glasses. Well, a little quick survey here. Why do you wear glasses?
Because I'm
farsighted nearsighted. Okay, so that would have to do with seeing. Okay, well, why do you wear glasses? For reading. You read with eyes. That's seeing. Why do you wear glasses? Same thing. Why do you wear glasses? So you can see. Why do you wear glasses? So you see. That's a strange side of the room over there. I don't know about those folks. Huh? Maybe it's different over here. Why do you wear glasses?
So I can make sure my students haven't switched seats.
You have to see your students to do that. Why do you wear glasses?
To see far away.
Why do you wear glasses? To see. Oh, this side's no better than this side. Now listen, I'm just a quick little study survey here. I am picking up a common thread that seems to be running through people that wear glasses. You wear your glasses something to do with seeing better. Is it a pretty good assumption? Any other reasons? Maybe your toenails grow better because you have glasses on or something? Yeah. Okay. Now folks, look at this. This is another one of those things. This is so simple we've overlooked it. Look, think of it. Most of the heavy hitter evolutionists, I mean the big top dog evolutionists, they wear glasses. You know why? Because they spend a lot of time in bad lighting, writing and reading reports and on computer screens and the eyeballs, and they wear glasses. Well, now wait a minute. Maybe all you people that are wearing glasses, you frustrate me so much. Maybe we ought to just, as the saying goes, let nature take its course. Maybe evolution's trying to remove our eyes so they could be replaced with something better, You guys keep stepping in the way of progress. Now, folks, think about this. Even the staunchest of the evolutionists absolutely acknowledges full well, knows full well, that when something starts to change in these things right here, we rush off to somebody that knows how to fix them back up the way they used to be, because that's the way they were supposed to be. When these things don't hear quite like they used to, we rush off to somebody that knows how to fix them back up the way they used to be. Because that's the way they were supposed to be. When the old ticker doesn't pump enough anymore, you just don't have any energy, you rush off to somebody that knows how to fix it back up the way it used to be. Because that's the way it was supposed to be. Do you understand that the slightest change in our bodies is acknowledged as a bad thing? Well, can you just imagine the incredible amount of change for this to happen? I mean, come on. That's just nonsense, But anyway, so conclusion, was your hypothesis correct? No, so you go and redo it all over again. Now, do we have any five-year-olds in this room? Anybody 5 years old? Anybody 5 year old? Five-year-olds. We got a five-year-old? We got another five-year-old. Okay, how about a four-year-old? Do we have a four-year-old? Is anybody four? Four? Is she four? You're four? Okay, we got a four and a couple of fives. Okay, you guys, 4 and 5 year old, you look up here now and watch this. This particular teacher in this science classroom, now she has a five-year-old daughter. You know, a lot of times kids will do little artwork things and they'll give it to their parents. And a lot of times parents will take that to the workplace and put it on the wall or frame on the desk or something, This particular teacher has a five-year-old daughter who did some artwork and she took it to class and she put it on the bulletin board. Now, you 4 and 5 year olds, now watch up here close, okay? Here's the piece of paper right here that the five-year-old daughter did. I'm gonna change the slide. I'm gonna zoom it up, I'm gonna read what it says underneath it, and I want you guys to answer, okay? It's real easy, you can do it, don't worry. Okay, check it out, look up here close. Now here it is changed, here's the piece. Here it is zoomed up, and it says, what's wrong with this picture? Okay, 4 or 5 year old. Hurry, what do you see? You see anything wrong with the picture? The feet? What's wrong with feet? I've got feet. I bet you have feet, I can't see them, but I bet you got feet back there. What's wrong with, look, he's got feet. What's wrong with having feet? The fish has feet, she says. Fish don't have feet. How old are you? 4. 4. Folks, do you know what just happened in this room? Right before your eyes. Do you see what just happened here? Do you understand a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, absolutely knows full well beyond a shadow of a doubt, fish don't have feet. But you know what we do with the precious minds of our little kiddos? We ship them off for some heavy indoctrination for about 12 or 15 years. And then they grow up and they write in science publications how fish got feet. And then they produce textbooks and then they make museum displays. Folks, I'm telling you, do you understand that a 3 or 4 year old child who has never been to a church in their life, they don't even know there is a God. They've never been to a church in their life, but they're 3 or 4 years old, knows absolutely well because of what God put in them already. You have to be educated out of believing what God did because it's naturally in there. The understanding is right there in the first place. You have to be educated out of believing that. And the enemy knows that full well, and he's got a target. Check this out. Scientific American, 15 answers to creationist nonsense. The whole publication this month was absolutely astounding. But I want to show you this page right here. It shows this big column right here, and it says evolution on top. And it's got one little book down here that says creationism. Now, we know what one little book that is. That's just the Bible. That's all you guys have, you know? We've got all of this evidence, they say, for evolution. Watch this right here. Call your attention to that. Look what it says. A Gallup poll from 1999 and a National Science Board poll from 2000 both revealed that close to half the American public rejects evolution. Inadequate education plays a part in this. Confidence in evolution grows with schooling. Folks, that is sobering. That ought to make our toenails curl up backwards. Do you understand? That's what we just witnessed in this room. Do you realize the devil knows full well that it is a long-term targeted effort to get the minds of the people, and he's doing an excellent job of it. It is sobering what's going on, folks, and the enemy knows full well what he's doing. And we, you know, the Christian community, boy, the first time something goes wrong, we want to bail out on the whole thing. The devil knows full well it's a long-term haul. And folks, that's where we lose the battle. Have you ever thought about the IQ of hell? Have you ever considered the incredibly brilliant minds on this planet that in the end they bust out, what's the point anyway? Folks, it's sobering. It's chilling when you think about it. Anyway, back to the Raven Johnson, talking about the creationist here in this biology textbook. They're saying that our conclusions can be reached only on a basis of faith alone. They are untestable and as such lie outside the realm of science. They say if something is outside of testing, it is outside of science. It is not science. Well, where's the test for any of that stuff they call evolution evidence in there then? They have none. Folks, it is sobering what's going on. But our kids are learning this kind of stuff and it affects them. We watch them fall. We've seen them fall. Here's where the article starts. Scientific creationism, talking about Darwin and his ideas. That evolution has occurred and is still occurring is as well accepted a theory as the existence of gravity. The operation of evolution no more doubted than the prediction that a dropped apple will fall. Folks, they all say this, they all put this connection here. They say the scientific perspective is only one of many world views. And that's what I started with Sunday morning. Folks, it is a worldview, and the worldview a person holds matters, and it affects them in a major big way. I'm telling you, it is time, it is high time that we get involved in our kiddos' lives. Folks, it is sobering what's going on out there, and all too often we put our kids on a big yellow bus and we don't even pay attention at the end of the year what the teacher's name was that just put all this information into our child that God gave us to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, by the way. Look at this thing. Today, more than a century after Darwin, the overwhelming scientific evidence has caused virtually all scientists to agree that life has evolved. Evolutionary change is undeniable from a scientific perspective. Explaining how and why evolution occurs, however, is much more difficult. Yeah, I guess it would be. But they say everybody agrees it happened. We don't have a clue how, you know. They don't have any answers. It's amazing. You know, a lot of times creationists, not just creationists, but Christians in general are getting on school boards all over this country. In more recent times, 1999, the Kansas school board system is the first to do this in a big, major way. The Christians got on the school board by and large, and the evolutionists, and they got upset about it, and they targeted them. They kicked them off the school board next time, and now they're getting back on again this time. It just goes back and forth. But what happened, 1999, they didn't take evolution out of the curriculum. They didn't put creationism in. They just toned down evolution a little bit and said, hey, let's look at it objectively and critically. Well, they didn't like that. The evolutionists didn't. This article is in Nature, volume 401. The context is the Kansas School Board issue. Okay, so you understand the setting and the context of this. In Nature, volume 401, look what they wrote. Even if all the data point to an intelligent designer, such a hypothesis is excluded from science because it is not naturalistic. Now, folks, look what this sentence is saying. They're saying even if all of the evidence points to the fact that there's a God that put this place here, we are still going to deny him. Right. When you realize this kind of stuff, they're saying even if anything but God will do. You know, it is amazing. They don't agree with themselves, and they argue bitterly over all these issues, but anything but God will do in the long run by the time it makes it.
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.